Hello, Cape Crusaders, and welcome to another edition of Batman on the Big Screen. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and I'm joined by my good buddy today, cinephile and someone who's more knowledgeable than the Bat Computer when it comes to watching films on the toilet. It's my good buddy, Ben. Say hello, Ben.
Hello, Ben.
You've done that old, every time you have done
I've
that every
I
time.
I've realised I waved. I should have done that.
Key.
I've done it, yeah. There's no way wouldn't have made that shadow. It doesn't work, but I like it. No. I like how it does it.
But anyway. Also, all of our listeners that don't watch it are like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
It's the penguin hand Batman thing.
Yeah. Oh, that was like, it was like Garth doing it from Wayne's World. Hey, do you want to see my Batman? Anyway, sorry.
That's an innuendo of a bad one.
Yeah.
Okay, so for all those that don't know, Ben, if they maybe not listen to our other episodes, you do another podcast, don't you? What's that podcast about?
It's called Watching Films on the Toilet. What I do with my friend Eamon, and we are two dads who watch unsuitable films, ones we can't watch with our kids, on the toilet, because where else, right? And then we chat about them and we get letters from celebrities, like loads of famous celebrities. You've been on it a few times. You might be again.
I don't count as a celebrity.
No, definitely not. But yeah, that's it. And it's on. You can listen to it if you want. If you want. I don't mind.
Well, actually, when you came over to watch The Batman, which we're going to talk about today, you insisted on watching it on the toilet, didn't you? You wouldn't even sit on the sofa.
I did. Well, it was difficult. You brought in a little iPad for me, which is very kind. I watched it on the toilet. You watched it in the lounge. And we just shout our opinions at each other. But too much mumbling, I was shouting.
You weren't allowed to watch the whole film on the iPad. I had a camera set up in the living room, so you had to watch it as I was watching it, but on a much smaller screen. So a screen within a screen.
But that's how I watch films, so it's fine. I was worried you were going to say I had a camera set up in the toilet. That's what I
was watching.
Yeah.
A real Truman Show.
Are you telling me that you watch me on the toilet?
Now, for anyone that doesn't know, that's going to be our interpretation of Commissioner Gordon from this movie, played by the amazing Jeffrey Wright, for the rest of the show, because, he is someone that's very cryptic.
Do you mean to tell me that,
he's more of the Riddler than the Riddler himself, because he's always asking questions.
He's just the question mark. Because he doesn't know anything. No. Hang on. Are you telling me that
I'm a police officer?
Is you a police officer? It's going to be very much an ASMR heavy episode.
It is, actually. Isn't it? Yeah, turn the volume up because it's going to be a lot of mumbling. But before we do that, we're going to do our little game where we ask the Bat Computer after we give our opinions on a certain question.
Okay, so I'll get it ready.
Our question today, I'll ask you first, and then I'll give my answer, and then we'll see what the Bat Computer says as the general consensus. Yeah. But I wanted to know, what is your favourite live-action Batcave on screen?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Now, I've got a list here just to remind you of all the Batcaves that we've seen on screen so far. These are movies, obviously, so people are like, you forgot the TV show and everything.
like that. Yeah.
So movie wise, we've got the Batman 66 movie, that classic Batcave set with the rotating Batmobile and all of the computers and science stuff. Jesus, too early. Okay. Batman 66. Then we've got Batman 89, another well-known Batcave that's appeared in the Flash movie as well, or reappeared. Batman Returns has the Batcave, but it's not the same as the Batman 89. It's a different setup, so I've counted that as a separate Batcave.
Okay.
We've got Batman Forever, which has a very sort of Batman 66 style with the Batcave with the Batmobile in the center of the Batcave, computers and everything all around it. Batman and Robin, which is very similar to Batman Forever, but obviously Robin's there now, so there's a few differences.
I remind myself while you introduce more, because I can't really remember, since I have access to a computer. Let me just see what it looked like again. because I can't quite remember it.
Well, Batman Forever one. Yeah. And like one, the thing I liked about the Schumacher Batcaves is the suit vault. Like, you've got all these suits. I do like a suit vault.
I like
in the
a suit
cave.
Vault. Yeah.
Then we got Batman Begins, which is more cave than anything else with the water form.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, you know, it's very early days for that Batcave. So he's just got the Batmobile and, like, he's got a suit vault.
Yes.
And then there's, like, a table where he, like, does his carpentry on and, like, makes his little batarangs and stuff like
carpentry.
That.
Carpentry. He's what? Where he makes all his things out of wood? What are you on about?
his carpentry skill. Yeah, he carves bats out of wood. That's how obsessed he is with being Batman.
I've got to whittle down this bat before I go.
Then you got the Dark Knight, which is obviously a very different cave, if you want to call it. It's more like a bat bunker.
Yeah.
As it's been named. And then The Dark Knight Rises, yes, he goes back to Wayne Manor. It's rebuilt, but there is a different style of Batcave. It's got that, like, console, like, podium thing that the Bat computer's on that rises up out of the water. Then Batman v Superman, which is in a cave, but it's got, like, the Robin suit on display. The computer, Batmobile, obviously you can go in and out of it. And I think it's like on Wayne Manor estate, but it's not under Wayne Manor because that like was destroyed or some stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then finally the movie we're talking about, which is The Batman, which is a sort of abandoned subway station underneath Wayne Tower. So again, not a cave, but it's got bats in it. So
it does have bats in it. Yeah,
they all have bats in it, I believe.
You've got to have bats in, otherwise that makes sense, does it?
No, I mean, could you call it the Bat Cave without bats? Because you are Batman, and you do
it
operate.
It is his cave.
Yeah,
your bats don't have to be all there all the time, but
do the bats have like an unofficial ownership? Where it's like, ah, no, actually, this is our land.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think Batman is renting space from the bats. He pays them in bat food. I don't know what bats eat.
Carpentry. He pays them with wood.
He pays them with wood.
Yes.
Yeah. He makes them small wooden things, and they love it. It's fine.
I made you this.
And they all swarm around, and they take it once a month, and that's it.
Okay, so that's a lot of bat caves that we've seen on screen. What when I listed those? Usually, the way that I at least do this is like the one that pops into my head almost immediately is typically my favorite. So, which one are you going with?
It's 1989.
Yeah, Batman 89.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I remember the most. That was like my bat cave. You know, that's my truth, and. Yeah, it's that one. It's just got the most sort of the most atmosphere and just
it's a very much like it's built on the side of a cave almost. Like there's these big drops and it's like because he's got a lot of stairwells in that cave, you know, to move around.
Yes.
It's not like just a big old hollowed out cave. It's like the Batmobile's like 80 feet down there.
Yeah.
You got to climb a ladder if you want to get to the bat seat. You got to climb another ladder to get
to
the computer.
It's cool.
It is cool, but seems very inconvenient for a Batman to operate in where he's just like, "Oh my god, the Joker's just broken into the Gotham Bank and I'm at the Bat computer and it's going to take me about 3 minutes to get down to the Bat."
But Batman is a bit of a masochist, isn't he? He doesn't like to make things easy for himself.
True. Okay, so Batman 89 is your answer. I have always had an absolute love, and when I was a kid, this is how I would like recreate my Bat cave in my house because I had this room that was like a storage room and I turned it in and it had like a door that I could like conceal in America. So I turned it into my actual bat cave.
That's very cool.
Which was very cool at the time. Now, you know, obviously you're a kid, so it's cool.
Yeah,
anyway.
Now it's like lame.
Lame as
sounds
fuck.
Cool then.
I had my suit on display. I built this like cardboard vault that I could put it in.
This is actually cool to me.
It was quite intricate. I had I took, like, I printed out pictures of Batman villains, and then on cardboard, like, four cardboard boxes, I paint them gray, and then I would stick them on and make it look like the screens to the computer. So I had, like, a bat computer. Oh, man, I was obsessed.
Yeah.
We went to visit, like, Virginia or something like that. And we actually visited, like, one of the salt caves or something along the East Coast. And they had all of these, like, plastic bats in the gift shop. So I bought a ton of those that were on string. And I hung them up all around in the room, which was fun. Made my own, like, utility belt out of this, like, army belt that I, like, spray-painted it yellow. I was all out Batman as a kid.
You really were.
My brother
used to...
You
should do a podcast about Batman or something.
Yeah, I probably should.
Really into him.
My brother used to hate it, though, because he was always forced to be Robin or, like, wasn't allowed to be Batman. So I modeled my cave, and whenever I play with toys, I modeled this cave. It is Batman Forever. Is my Batcave, surprisingly. Okay. Like, there's a lot of problems I have with that film, but I also have a real soft spot for it, and we'll always continue to love it, and we will get around to reviewing it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the Riddler for anyone that doesn't know.
That is my main takeaway. So glad this is being videoed, Alex. So glad.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So yeah, I love Batman Forever. It's got the Batmobile in the center, and I like how it spins around. You got the computer behind it. You got the suit vault, and you got multiple suits in there, which I love. Yeah. And that beginning when he's suiting up and he's like grabbing everything, it just I was the perfect age for that film.
Yeah.
And it was like fun and not what this film is about that we're about to review is really dull, devoid of all fun. But yeah, I love Batman Forever. But what do you think the Bat Computer is going to tell us in regards to the most loved
Batman?
Let's find out,
shall we? I did a little bit of asking while you were going on and on there. so I just asked the Bat Computer, ChatGPT, what is the best movie Batcave? And it said, the best movie Batcave is subjective and often depends on personal preference. I'll just read it like me. However, many fans consider the Batcave featuring Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight trilogy to be one of the most iconic and visually impressive representations of Batman's headquarters. But as you said, it's like a few different Batcaves.
Yeah, and I think people think of The Dark Knight Bat Bunker when they think of Nolan's Batcave. I mean, maybe they think of the actual cave. It is very much a cave. I do like in that movie where he goes down for the first time and then all the bats swarm around him and obviously he just kind of embraces that.
It's a shot, isn't it?
It is quite the shot. But there's nothing cool about that cave. You are literally in this wet, damp, like bat-riddled cave. There's nothing like fun. I mean, obviously in The Dark Knight Rises, he does have some like computers and technology down there. But I don't know, it just didn't really, like, jump out to me. There's the secret entrance with, like, the piano. Like, he does the blom, bling, like, this weird little thing, and the library door opens or whatever.
You're playing the piano again. That's the one. Yeah.
It's my favourite song.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not surprised, but also that's a shame because, like, as bat caves go, it is just a cave that Batman is in.
I want trinkets and stuff. He's gonna be. I think he'd be a bit proud of some of the things he's done. He'd hang on to them.
This is what I love about Batman, and we haven't seen in any of the Batman movies yet. We even talked about this when we reviewed The Flash because I was hoping that an old Michael Keaton Batman would have like mementos from all his time being Batman. And there wasn't a Catwoman suit or a Riddler hat or a Joker teeth in sight, really. There was Joker teeth, but it was like a throwaway thing. But I would love to have a Batman that has a Batcave. And I hope in some iteration that we see, whether it's the DCU or maybe even more futuristic Batman Beyond movie, maybe if that ever happens. But I'd love a giant penny. I'd love a big old fucking T-Rex. You know, like,
I do like the idea that he keeps a giant penny. So he says, Alfred, I need you to go back to the scene and get that huge penny that was involved in that terrible fight I had. And off he goes, gets it. Because he actually
has to drag it back as well. He's not allowed to use any of the Batman technology or gadgets. No, because it would give it away.
Or he forgets about it and it's Alfred's Christmas gift to him.
So, Merry Christmas, Alfred.
I think you'll like this. It's a very large penny. Thanks, Alfred. Nice one.
Do you think maybe because Alfred... Or maybe Alfred wanted it because it's a penny and Penny's in his surname, right? It's Pennyworth. So.
Pennyworth, yeah. But so Batman. It was quite a selfish gift on Alfred's part. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, he's the one who's going to clean it, right? Like, that's going to go rusty in the Batcave in that damp environment. You're going to have to really, you're going to have to rub that down a lot.
Alfred, my big penny needs dusting.
I think the Batcave needs like mementos, trinkets, things like that.
Does need a T-Rex, definitely.
Yeah, a T-Rex, because it just is a staple in the comics and in the animated series. They even explain why the penny's there, why the T-Rex is there in episodes, which I think is really cool. So, I think we've still yet to see a full-on comic book Batcave in the movies, especially when it's going so practical and down-to-earth. Like, it takes all the fun out of it. Which leads me on to talking about this movie, Ben.
Good segue. Yeah.
Thank you. Are you ready to talk about The Batman, or as I like to call it, The Batman?
Let's chat. Let's do the chat.
Vengeance. Here we are.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are you Vengeance or am I? Vengeance.
And then at the end, I'm Hope. What? That's what Superman is. Stop it.
It's like he's just lost his mind. He's just got to say what he is all the time. Like, you wake up in the morning, I'm despair.
Is it like Memento, where he's got his history on his, he's reminded himself like who he is. You're Batman. Excitement. Your parents are dead.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
We're gonna try. I'm gonna try and bring some positives because this movie is quite polarizing in who loves it and hates it. I haven't heard anyone that goes, it's all right. Yeah, it's not a bad film. You know, I've only heard, like, I love this Batman, or I don't like this Batman at all. So,
yeah,
we'll share our opinions, but I'll definitely talk about the good stuff as well. But first, we do our utility belt of fun facts. So I'm just going to list up some facts and we'll chat about them. So there's quite a few here. I opted out of putting a lot in because it was kind of, I don't know, repeating itself a few times, or like facts that I didn't think were too worth sharing. So if anybody is upset that I haven't shared some fact that you love, I'm sorry. And you can always write in and go, did you know that the Batman?
Yeah. You know it already. So what's the problem? Oh, they didn't say that thing I know. Yeah, you know it. Come on, Alex. Do the ones you want to do. Don't worry about
it. I'm going to do the ones I want to do. So. Yeah. This is the first version of Batman to address the black eye makeup under the cowl directly. In previous films, the makeup just disappeared when Bruce took his mask off, but Matt Reeves stated, I just loved the idea of taking off the mask, and under that there's the sweating and the dripping and the whole theatricality of becoming this character.
Are you telling me that you wear black eye makeup
and you're
under
sweating
mask
and you're dripping?
I won't do that for every single fact. Just that one. It works. It does. I like that that's addressed because it should be.
It works for this Batman film, right? Like, I'm very glad that in Batman Returns we didn't have Michael Keaton with raccoon eyes when he takes off the mask. Yeah. And it would have felt like it just felt out of place. Like, just this movie doesn't suspend any disbelief, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't.
There's an explanation and a reason for everything, which sometimes becomes very tiring.
Except for the convoluted plot. The other stuff. Yeah.
You are El Rata. You are El. Oh, are you telling me?
El Rata, does that mean penguin or pigeon or bat or what does it mean?
It's a website. That's the great riddle. It's a website. Okay. Matt Reeves stated that his version of the Riddler was partially inspired by the infamous Zodiac Killer. Obviously, Zodiac left a lot of ciphers for the police to kind of like put it together to figure out who he is. And I guess the Riddler was doing similar
things. I thought you said sofas. So what? He left a lot of sofas behind. That would be really impractical as a serial killer.
I am made out of fabric and wood.
We've got another full-size couch left at the crime scene that wasn't there originally.
That's his calling card.
Must have taken
card.
Him a long time to bring it in.
Yeah. Just a massive sofa left at every crime scene.
He would have been there for at least an hour or two bringing that up the stairs, but no one saw him do it.
Yeah, he asked for help. He's like, I can't do this by myself. Okay, so ciphers that the Zodiac Killer leaves. And of course, like, there's other things like, this is the Riddler speaking when he does the beginning of the video. That's how the Zodiac started when he left his, like, voice recording. Plus, they look the same. They both look like gimps.
So. And you remember all those letters from Zodiac where it said, I, like I,
yeah,
and then it would, then he would go on about what he did and how horrible he'd been. You remember that?
Yeah. I've also, since we watched this again, whenever I'm talking to someone on the phone, there's a moment, it's such a throwaway line, but when the Riddler does his first like video message to Gotham, it's like on a handheld thing, like on a iPhone or whatever. At the end of the video, after he's like, this is the rat trap and it's going to like go into his body and kill him, he goes, goodbye. And the way he says goodbye and like whips his head up, I've been doing that a lot lately and
goodbye.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Like we'll talk about the Riddler, but it's not the Riddler as we know. It's what did we say he was? He was more like the puzzler or like something like that.
Yeah, the Quizmaster.
The Quizmaster, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this film is written by director Matt Reeves and writer Peter Craig. Craig has also conceived stories or written the screenplays for Top Gun Maverick, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Parts 1 and 2, The Town, which I haven't seen in a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good movie.
With Ben Fleck.
The Unforgivable, which is a fairly new film. I think it has Sandra Bullock in it, or maybe I'm thinking something else. And then the ever-so-classic Bad Boys for Life, which I have a thing, by the way.
Bad Boys, was that number 4?
Yes, but it's the third one. They really fucked that up. Because why?
Oh, yeah. It was. Why did I think it was number 4 then?
Because it's got 4 in the title, so you'd think that they'd be like, hey, if we ever make a Bad Boys 4, we got to call it... They're fucked now. They're doing Bad Boys 4 now, but Bad Boys 3 was Bad Boys for Life. Like, what is this, Fast and the Furious? Like, they're messing up all the titles and, like, throwing it all the...
All they needed to put was, like, a word with some E's in it in Bad Boys. Bad Boys, yee, and then use 3's. There's the E's. Why didn't they do that? I'm not sure about it. Yeah. Bad boys. 2 boys. 3s.
Yeah,
boom,
there we go.
Done.
There we go.
That was all right, though. That was an okay film.
Yeah, it was okay. You could call it The Bad Boys, and the E could be a 3.
Like
The Equalizer 3, they had that, like, the Threequalizer.
The
Threequalizer.
Maybe next in the next Bad Boys film, we'll have a 3 in the title. But it'll be the 4.
Really fuck with us, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some, like, interesting movies there. Like, Top Gun Maverick, obviously, a big film.
Yeah, talk to me, Matt.
The final Hunger Games, Mockingjay 1 and 2, like, obviously, those were the final of that. They are big movies. So
I do feel like
that.
When you hear these names and these people that have written, like, these movies have so many cooks and so many ghostwriters. Like, it may start with that person or end with that person, but there'd be so many iterations. And I do feel the script for this movie, it feels like it was written a long time ago.
Ooh, and... well, you're doing a great segue into my next fact.
Okay, it feels, yeah, it feels like it was written a long time ago, and they updated a bit of the technology, but then just went with the script that feels kind of old in some respects, or not particularly innovative. But you carry on.
So, yeah, this, it's really funny you say that, and I think I mentioned this to you when we were watching, that there was a film written by Darren Aronofsky and Frank Miller that was due to be directed by Aronofsky as well. So this film and The Joker, the movie The Joker, were loosely inspired by a Batman script written by Frank Miller, Darren Aronofsky, and it was set to come out in the early 2000s. It was titled Batman Year One, which obviously Frank Miller wrote, and no, he didn't draw that. That was David Mukazeli. I don't know. Okay. I'm saying names, and I don't think I'm close. But this movie involved... So this was very different from the comic. This movie involved a mechanic by the name of Bruce Wayne that became the Batman and drove around in a black muscle car trying to clean up the streets of Gotham. He wasn't rich. He wasn't a wealthy person. He was actually like working in Alfred's body shop. And Alfred was like the owner of this body shop. Turns out he ends up inheriting all the Wayne fortune at the end because he didn't know that his dead parents were rich, and he like didn't know he was. Yeah, it's a bit muddy there. But there was no major villain. There was like just the crime riddled streets of Gotham, which took inspiration from the film Taxi Driver.
So just general bad vibes.
Yeah, like a very late 70s, early 80s Gotham that it was set in. Obviously, we've got Selina Kyle, who's in this movie. Similar to Batman Year One, the comic, but in this movie that Aronofsky was going to do, she was like a short-haired, look a lot like Selina Kyle in this film, but she was a sex worker that like stole from Gotham's elite.
Of course she was, kinda, Frank Miller.
Yeah, of course she was, Frank Miller.
Yeah, okay.
I think she was a dominatrix as well. And which she was in the comic book Batman Year One, in fairness, but this was like Frank Miller being like, I get to really do this now.
Yeah, let's step this up.
Yeah, and there was no major villain. Instead, it was focused on how corrupt Gotham was, including the main villain, who was going to be Police Commissioner Loeb, which is an interesting villain to have. So, yeah, it's... I mean, obviously, we saw a lot of similarities in The Joker, which we will begrudgingly, I'm going to have to review that with you at some point. And I know you don't mind that movie, or at least enjoyed it. And I hate that movie.
Loathe.
Yes. When we go to talk about it, I am not going to be kind about it.
You mentioned it at your house, and I thought you were going to ask me to leave. No, thanks. No, I won't. I'll stay in the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Watching you on the security footage on the iPad. Mm. So, yeah, I find that really interesting because there's a lot of things that are taken. Like, there's a lot of Bruce Wayne in this movie on the motorcycle in the helmet, which is called the Drifter, I believe is the name of that character. Matt Reeves kind of like...
That version.
That gave... Yeah, and like Frank Miller has done it where... Before he becomes Batman, he's obviously like in like a balaclava and a disguise. Mm. But this is taken to another level because he's already Batman. He's got a backpack with the bat suit in it, and it's a bit weird. It's a bit like it felt like you know, like a 90s cartoon kind of thing, or maybe a bit Batman Beyond like that. I can see like Terry McGinnis doing that.
How many personalities does he need?
Exactly, like,
It's just confusing. Yeah, he just drove around a lot on his bike, and then he got in a cave and he was sad, and then he was Bruce Wayne and he was sad, and then he was Batman and he was sad. He was just sad.
He was sad all the time. Yeah. Another great segue here. We're doing really well. Next fact. Robert Pattinson's Bruce Wayne is partially inspired by Kurt Cobain. Mm-hmm. Writer-director Matt Reeves was listening to Nirvana when he wrote the first act with Pattinson in mind. Reeves stated, "That's when it came to me that rather than make Bruce Wayne the playboy version we'd seen before, there's another version who had gone through a great tragedy and become a recluse." Like Kurt Cobain, who had a relationship with fame where being famous was not his goal. He loved music, but the idea of being famous for music was a double-edged sword for him, and that made me think of Rob Pattinson, is what Reeves has said.
I don't buy into that, because Kurt Cobain, obviously, he committed suicide, but I don't think he moped around all the time. Like, he had a great sense of humour. He was apparently quite good fun when he wasn't on smack. Right. So I think that idea that
And also, like he's a musician, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Just because he's not fucking Batman, doesn't mean that you're always miserable as well. It's an odd. I find that an odd influence. Just it's a song. That's just,
yeah. It's very odd that I've always found that really weird that that song's in this movie and that like Batman's based off of it, and yeah, it just makes everything so sad. Like,
yeah. Just this emo thing, just like,
yeah.
Oh, he listens to Nirvana, so he must be really sad. Well, no.
No.
Like, Nirvana are great. And you don't have
and
to
Batman's totally
to
separate than Nirvana. Like, yeah. I don't understand why you can't have the beauty about Batman and Bruce Wayne is that they're the yin and yang, right? The dark and the light. And Bruce, you need that with Bruce Wayne. One, to throw everybody off your scent. And two, to have some balance to, like, you know, going out and beating criminals to a bloody pulp every night.
Exactly. I think Christian Bale did that really, really well. Michael Keaton as well. They have, you know, moody Batman and just this very charming Bruce Wayne. You need to be charming. He's a billionaire playboy, isn't he?
That's the whole point. Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, there's that funeral scene.
He doesn't even care about, like, anything to do with his Bruce Wayne life, which I know was a choice, but I think was a really bad choice for this movie.
Yeah.
Where he, and especially he has a go at Alfred, and he's just like, I don't care anymore, Alfred. And I'm like, you need to care, dude.
Yeah.
You're not just, like, he's like, I know the whole idea, I think it's even in a fact at some point, is Patterson, like, saw that Batman to Bruce Wayne was his escape, right? Like, it was almost like therapy, and all he wanted to do was just be Batman all the time because he wanted to escape his, like, demons in his life and such, which has been done in the comics in, like, Batman Ego, for example. But that works because you've had all these iterations of Batman already. You understand the character. So when you're delving into the psyche of Batman, you've had so much before that. And yes, we've had so many movies and everything else. But this is still, it's different from the comics because it's a different interpretation of Batman. And it's not like it's connected to the Keaton ones or the Kilmer or the Bale. And I mean, we've even said that, like, when Alfred almost dies in this movie, you said, we're supposed to feel something for this dude because of their relationship, but they haven't established it in this movie. It's based on what you know about Batman and Alfred in the past.
And that's when you first see Alfred, you're meant to know that that's Alfred. Like, there's nothing to that character at all.
No.
He's able to crack codes, and we spend about 2 minutes with him, and then we're meant to care when he gets blown up. Like,
He's a right geezer, and I don't geezer he is.
Why you boy?
He doesn't even call him Master Wayne.
Oh no, he doesn't, does he? What does he call him? Boy?
I think he calls him boy and Bruce.
Why boy?
Yeah. Why mate? He's like calling him mate.
Why mate? You've been out on the town, have you? Oh yeah, fighting crime. All right, boy. Come on. Just go and crack some codes over at Cut of Tea, shall we? All right, boy.
He's that guy down at your local pub that's there all the time, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's that chap, isn't he? Are you all right, boy? Come on, come and see yourself down here. Have a drink with old Alf.
Alf, mate.
And it's a similar story with Commissioner Gordon, I think. And I love Jeffrey Wright is one of the best. But he makes a weird, I don't think the character's written well. And he does this sort of, like, pained kind of lean. It's like, he leans in and looks all pained. And then, every time are you telling me? it's just a really odd, and again, he's Jim Gordon. That's it. We know he's Jim Gordon.
No,
I don't know any more about him than that.
Again, the film thinks that we don't need to know much about these characters because we've seen it so many times. Like, I'm glad we don't see the Waynes getting murdered because, yes, we have seen that a million times. But it's still nice to know some character backstory to these people. Yes. Like, just because this is Gordon doesn't mean we're like, oh, yeah, so he, like, was there for Bruce Wayne when he was a kid after his parents got shot, and that's why he thinks he's a good cop. Like, I wouldn't mind either a tweak on that backstory or showing some of that.
something.
Just understand the relationship of these characters on screen, because if this was your first Batman movie, you'd have no idea what the fuck is going on, and you wouldn't care for anybody.
A big problem with that Jim Gordon and that Batman is they're both just so monotone and mumbly. Like, Batman needs someone a bit more animated to bounce off of him, because he's not going to be like, hey, we're going to solve the crime.
Yeah. It's, I wish he was.
Yeah, it would be fun. But Gary Oldman's Jim Gordon is a lot more emotional, I suppose, and just animated. And whereas
yeah,
Jeffrey Wright's, it was just
so
like,
monotone.
Like, the whole time. It was odd. It was an odd... Yeah. And it was boring listening to them.
He'd always like to work out late at night when no one else was around. There's a needle mark on his neck.
We've done... Like, we even said, like, they're mumbling. It was hard to tell what words they were saying sometimes because they were all... It was like, basically, we said it was like the Sims version of Batman, right?
Yeah, it was. Like,
what did you do? You did, like, a character test with me. Like, who's this?
Okay, so, well, who would that be?
Is that the Batman?
That's Batman. And then...
Okay. That's Gordon?
That's Gordon. Who else can we do?
Catwoman. That's the Riddler. So that's Alfred.
Yeah, that's Alfred. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you get the idea.
Yeah, they're all mumbling and just kind of like, it's just a mumbling, quiet, mundane mess throughout the whole film. I'm being so brutal here because...
It is. I mean, it is a mess. And the other thing that bothered me, and you mentioned not seeing Bruce Wayne's parents killed, but the thing that really, like, I think you switched it off because I just said I don't want to watch anymore because it was just mumbling. So I kept watching and I realized it really got to me when his parents are brought into it, when there's this whole conspiracy with the Waynes and, you know, it's all about these orphans. And I just don't think you need that. It doesn't need to be that personal. Like, it's all personal for him. He's doing this because he's broken. And, you know, his parents died, blah, 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 blah. You know about Batman. I don't think you need it to be then about his family. You don't need to blow up Alfred. You don't need to do all that. Like, I think the story of him letting Selina get close and him kind of protecting her, like, that's a detective story. That kind of Chinatown, you know, well,
film noir.
I mean, that doesn't end well, but yeah. Film noir, like, Guy is called out of retirement or whatever to come in and save someone, and then he goes about his business unchanged. Like, Batman's not going to change. He doesn't really need an arc. He's the same guy at the beginning as the end. And Christopher Nolan's already done that. He just needs to do something good and maybe feel a bit better about himself.
I don't mind the aspect of Riddler being a serial killer, because again, you've got a detective where Batman's got to figure out who is this guy. I didn't like the result of who he was, which he was just like some kid that was like in the choir that, like, that's why he's singing that stupid song and that's why it's part of his, like, his leitmotif when he comes on screen.
Yeah.
But and then he became an orphan, and obviously they were trying to pull parallels of, like, Bruce Wayne is an orphan, but he's been, like, rich and, like, had everything he's ever wanted. This orphan, like, watched babies die in an orphanage and, like, had rats and all of that stuff. Like, obviously it's like, being an orphan is sad, but there's a lot worse that it could be for you.
Yes.
I get what they were doing with that. It was a bit Oliver Twist for my liking, but the whole backstory of that's what, I don't even know if his name is Edward Nygma.
It wasn't really mentioned, I don't think.
Which is
maybe
stupid,
not.
Because that's one of my favourite, like,
names
for a villain, yeah. But I didn't like his backstory. I would have much rather, I don't know what I would prefer, but I thought the idea of bringing in Zodiac was fun, but it was so on the nose. Like, let's dress him up like Zodiac.
Yeah.
Let's have him leave ciphers and clues. Like
sofas, yeah.
Sofas. But I much prefer him just leaving some riddles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like in Batman Forever, it's like, there are many numbers on my face, but you won't find 13 any place.
Yeah.
Like, that's a riddle, you know? That's fun. Not
that was
like,
fun.
Not.
Somebody stop me!
Yeah. Not a fucking website URL, you know?
Oh god. It was it was awful.
Shit.
Awful. The same thing that they had to figure out in seven different ways. Like,
and the fact
are you
that
telling
the...
me that's not what it means? Just do it.
You're the stool pigeon, the rat with wings.
I think also the Riddler's performance, it was a little too much like Heath Ledger's Joker. They even had the video messages he did, which were fine, but it was just that kind of kooky. I'm sure Paul Dano researched a lot of serial killers, and you know, that's
he
what
did,
he
yeah, he
at.
Did.
But it just didn't feel particularly original or memorable or interesting to me. I don't know. I probably might have preferred if he'd played it straight. I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah, I much prefer like Riddler being this intelligent bowler hat wearing like smart suit, like genius.
Yeah,
you know where he's
just an insane genius. That's a lot.
His whole aspect is. Batman is the greatest detective, but I want to be smarter than Batman. And, like, the greatest riddle to the Riddler is, who is the Batman? Like, I would much rather that aspect. Like, I know you could, again, pull parallels to The Dark Knight because Ledger's Joker was kind of, like, trying to get Batman to reveal himself through half that movie. Take off the cowl and I'll stop killing people. Like, that's kind of a Riddler plot, in a way.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, I just think that they went in a direction. They made a choice, but there are aspects, like I like the serial killer aspect. I've seen like Riddler kind of be like Jigsaw from the Saw movies as well. Like you're in a death trap, figure out how to get out of it and you'll live. Like there's the riddle.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. In every single Jigsaw video, you're in a giant death trap and you're going to have... Now he's Kermit the Frog. Now you're going to have to get out. Goodbye.
Kermit Jigsaw, you have wasted your life. You have thrown away your opportunities. You have to make a choice. Let the games begin. Goodbye. Yeah. That would be... Yeah. There you go.
Hello and welcome to my giant death trap. Hello, I'd like to play a game if that's all right with you.
if that's okay with you, but again, like if the Riddler had chosen to do a Kermit impression the whole time and we never found out why, that would have been weird. That would have been strange. This isn't what I was hoping for. It's like, why does he sound like Kermit? But I like it. It works. It's unsettling. Yeah.
Kermit the Frog. And he's green. It's just
perfect.
Green.
It works. Yeah.
Kermit the Frog. Riddler's my new favourite Riddler.
I did like the Penguin. I enjoyed Colin Farrell's Penguin.
Yeah, because I much prefer, and I know it's an extreme, again, it's choices that are made, but I like them. I much prefer Danny DeVito's Penguin.
Yeah. I think they're very different, very
extremely
different portrayals.
Yeah.
But I thought
Absolutely.
The Penguin was the most, he's just the most animated and interesting character in this whole thing. I think
Is that I realized this when we were watching because I was like, why don't I like this? Because it's like the comic books. Mm. Like he owns the Iceberg Lounge. He's more of a gangster. He's running things like on the underground and, you know, like got police in his back pocket, all that stuff. That is very much the Penguin from a lot of comics.
Yeah.
And I realized I don't like him because he's too tall. That's it. Like,
okay.
I want my penguin to be a little dude. He's
like
called
penguin.
The penguin for a reason. Like a penguin. Mm. Like, it doesn't make sense to call that Colin Farrell version the penguin because he doesn't have a big old beak.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing penguin about him.
That's fair. I don't know. I have no argument against that.
There'd be like, you know, we're going to get to the Joker in this movie, but it would be like, that's the Joker. And I'd be like, that's just a dude that smiles. Like, there's no makeup. There's no, like, theatric. He's just a dude that smiles.
Why is he the penguin? What is it about him that makes him a penguin?
That's because, again, it's like the movie, the terrible piece of cinema, The Joker, where it's like, well, let's just call this guy the Joker to add a couple zeros to our income.
Wait to talk about that.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
But, I still think, you know, regardless, he's still the most interesting character and the most watchable character.
Yeah, he made choices and they were good. He's good choices, nasty, right? Yeah.
Good choices. And, I mean, yeah, okay, I'll try and do a couple of good things.
Okay, let's do some good things. What do you like about this movie?
I love the when we meet Batman for the first time. I think that's a great opening scene. I think it's a great look at Gotham and hit the idea that the criminals don't know where he is, coming in and out of the shadows. I really like that.
Yeah, that intro is amazing.
Yeah, I really like when we first hear the Batmobile for the first time, and I like that car chase.
Yeah,
that was good.
The music is fantastic in this movie.
And I like the bit in the tunnel with the gunshots. Like, I like, there's shots I like. I was watching, I was like, that's a beautiful shot. That's a really cool shot. But it didn't make me feel anything other than I like looking at that.
Yeah,
and that
was kind
of how it was.
There's very, like, I like Gotham in this movie.
Yes.
The aesthetic of Gotham is quite good. I like how it's always raining. Mm-hmm. Again, kind of like taken from things like Taxi Driver and stuff, but
7 and 8 millimeters.
Well, that's the thing that we haven't talked about, right? Is that the big inspiration for this movie was the movie 7. And again, I find like the Nirvana choice a really weird choice.
Yeah.
And much like I do 7, like it's too dark and depressing for a Batman movie. Like, it doesn't have to be so seriously dark and dismal.
No one was calling out for a revival of that, like late 90s, early 2000s neo-noir. Like, no one. It falls into the same category as new metal, I think.
Yes.
Like, liked at the time. Had a wallet chain, obviously, but I've moved on. I don't need to see it again.
We even noticed that a lot of the set pieces looked like when they were in an apartment, like Selina's apartment.
Oh, God,
we're like, that looks like the 7 apartment.
And then he goes to the Riddler's apartment, and it is 7.
It is 7.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And even like when he introduces himself, he's basically walking into the police station. He just waits to be found.
It's
very 7. It's very 7.
But and it's just such a weird thing to like, it again, it's like, we love Taxi Driver so much, let's inject that into the Joker. Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand why, like, I like odes, but I don't like direct rip-offs, you know what I mean? Where it's like, that is so clearly that movie just redone with a new comic book character in its place. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
But I'm being negative. I'm being negative. I'm going to pull back. Okay, but, so.
Yeah, I mean, I said the shots I liked. And tell you what. I did notice there's some odd things with time. There's just little things like in the car chase, Batman, there's all that, like a truck falls over, there's a blockade and he goes up a ramp to kind of escape this blockade. And then we cut to the penguin who's driving away from the fire. And it's an odd edit because when we cut to penguin, it actually goes back in time.
Yeah.
Like Batman's about to jump through the fire. We then cut to penguin and it's a good like 10 seconds before he comes through the fire. So it's this weird
use
of time.
Exactly,
and
what
then
you mean.
There's the bit where he drives to see Alfred and he's already missed it.
Mm.
He's already blown up, which I think is more effective. I don't know why they did that, but they do it a few times. It's almost like there's these themes that just aren't fully realized. Like the whole, there's looking as well. There's the gaze. We see through the Riddler's eyes. We see through Batman's eyes being pervy. And we see through Selina's eyes.
Right.
What does it all amount to?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of POV in this, isn't there?
Yeah,
but
there is.
Yeah, no exact reason behind it besides just Matt Reeves being a bit artsy, I guess. But
yeah.
The pervy scene with Bruce Wayne just watching Selina for way too long. Yeah, okay, so I mentioned the music before, and I really want to highlight that because it is one of my favourite things about this movie. If not, my favourite thing about this movie is the music.
Mm.
I don't know Like, first of all, I'm a big Michael Giacchino fan. I really like a lot of his scores.
Yeah.
When I found out he actually, when he announced this, I was there at the Royal Albert Hall because Michael Giacchino and David Arnold, mm-hmm. the composer of a lot of James Bond movies and other things, they were doing a sort of composer versus composer, right?
Wow.
And it was such a great show. They had the London Philharmonic Orchestra there, and they were basically taking it in turns to be like, well, here's my like secret agent. David Arnold was like, here's my best James Bond.
Mm.
And the music would play. And then Giacchino would be like, well, here's my secret agent that I'm going to throw at you. And he did Mission Impossible 3, right? So it's got Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. And then they did like, David Arnold was playing like Godzilla, and Giacchino played like some monster thing. They were just going at it with like, okay, I've done that genre.
Mm-hmm.
And then Giacchino was like, okay, well, I've done superheroes. Like, here's my incredible score. And you're like, wicked. And he's like, but I'm going to do another superhero soon. And he's like, I'm pleased to announce for the first time, I'm going to be doing the next Batman movie. And I was in the crowd and I was like, what? That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So I was already pumped, for this score. Because, controversial opinion, I think Hans Zimmer's Batman score is very overrated. I find myself listening to it less and less over the years. I find myself also just getting very bored of it, like when I watch those movies again.
It was very much of that time, wasn't it? Of the like, brum,
I want a beat. I want a theme. I want something I can hum, and I can't really hum the Dark Knight theme. Same
it's all
with
about
Batman
Danny Elfman for me.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Like, it's where, you know, for me it all started. And like, Hans Zimmer did Batman versus Superman as well. Another one I could never hum or sing to you.
No.
I did like his Man of Steel score, but that's separate. So I've got like, because I'm big into the music, I've got Elfman at the top,
mm-hmm.
Alongside actually with Shirley Walker, who did Batman the Animated Series, because that Batman the Animated Series just took Elfman's ideas and then she created a whole other thing with that kind of sound in mind. So they're both at the tippy top. Right underneath, in front of all the other composers, I've got Giacchino's score from this movie.
Mm.
I really dig this score. I like the Batman theme, which is actually the first four notes of the Imperial March from Star Wars.
Dun.
Yeah, and it's dun, 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 dun. So that's the, so you got that in there. I like Catwoman's theme. It sounds like kind of playful and kind of like nimble like a cat. It's just very cat-like. Obviously, Riddler's got the choir song. I can't remember the name of it, but that's kind of weaved into it. And I really dig the music of this. That's probably my biggest positive.
Yeah. Great soundtrack.
Of this movie.
Yeah.
So one thing I don't like is Bruce Wayne's hair. I think it's fucking atrocious.
Yeah, it is like he's been listening to My Chemical Romance on repeat for 4 years.
It's just
after
so
he should have stopped.
It's so long and flat, and it honestly, like, if he had like a bald spot, he'd look like a pedo. He really would. I mean, he's so weird looking. And like, I get it in the bat suit. If you're going to have long hair like that, first of all, I feel like it should have been way shorter and like well kept. But if you're going to have long hair like that in the bat suit and you take it out and it's long and it's sweaty and it's like grungy, again, Kurt Cobain, like, I get it. But then when you're Bruce Wayne, he doesn't even brush his fucking hair. He just lets it hang down like a mop.
Takes it off.
When he goes to that funeral, he looks like shit.
Yeah, he does. He looks terrible.
And it makes me angry, Ben. It makes me fucking angry because this is Bruce Wayne. Like, this is the dude that you're supposed to go, there's no way that's Batman. But he basically, he doesn't even need the cape and cowl on. He could have stepped out the car, moped around, and someone could be like, that's fucking definitely Batman. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's a mopey git.
He's all miserable. It made me just think of Succession. You know, those rich kids. And they went to a funeral of their dad, and they look great. They all look really good. He could have looked good too.
Yeah.
I think, and that would have been a more interesting, like, he doesn't have to be charming necessarily. He could have been a jerk. He could have been like Kieran Culkin, just like, you know, Roman, just a sort of unpleasant rich boy. Like, yes. Just more than... It was nothing. It was just nothing. When he's at that funeral, it's so weird. It's just like everyone's just looking at each other. They look at him and he looks at them and then he looks at someone. Like, what is this? What is it?
Why?
I don't get it. Why are they just looking at each other?
Like, I have a weird thing with this film. So I will say on the record that, like, I've seen this film a few times now and I keep on wanting it to be good. And and there are parts where, like, there are moments where I'm like, actually, I'm kind of into this world because I do like the Gotham. I do like the world it paints. Like, it feels, Gotham feels very lived in. It doesn't feel like it's Chicago, you know, like in the Dark Knight movies. Or it doesn't feel like a set, like some of the Burton films or Schumacher films had.
Yeah.
It feels very lived in. And I know it's, like, shot a lot in England and everything, which I thought was a pretty good idea. A lot of Liverpool in there, which makes sense for, like, the Gothic architecture.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, it does fall short, ultimately. And we even said, this movie should have ended when Carmine Falcone got shot.
Yes.
And the Riddler got captured, and that's been his plan all along. And he outsmarted Batman. This whole tacked on 45 minutes of, I'm going to blow up the docks and flood the city, and you're going to have to go save people and be the symbol of hope, and you realize your hope because some dude you saw at the funeral called you, he said, I'm vengeance. And it's just, it's so, the vengeance thing pisses me off as well, Ben. It really pisses me off. No, who are you? Who? Why are you calling yourself vengeance?
He's vengeance, isn't he?
At the beginning, when he walks out, those thugs at the train station, they see the bat signal in the sky. One of them sees it and knows. You see his face like, oh shit, that's fucking bat. That's the bat signal.
Yeah.
And he comes out the darkness. Clearly, is like he's Batman. And they go, who are you supposed to be? Why are you asking who he's supposed to be? He's got a fucking signal in the sky. He's been around for two fucking years. What are you on about, mate? And then he goes. Yeah. And he goes, I'm vengeance. What? No, I know that his favorite, Robert Pattinson's favorite film is Mask of the Phantasm. And obviously Kevin Conroy's like famous line is, I am vengeance. I am the knight. I am Batman. If he said, who are you supposed to be? He beats the shit out of him and goes, I'm vengeance. I'm the knight. And then looks up and goes, I'm Batman. Would have been pretty fucking cool. But to stop at vengeance. Yeah. And then that's his nickname. Like, People know him as Vengeance. How many people has he, like, gone around saying, by the way, it's not Batman. Don't believe what you read in the papers. My name's actually Vengeance.
Batman. I'm Vengeance. Okay.
You got bat ears and a bat signal on your chest, but okay, fine.
No!
Mate.
I don't mind. All right. Okay.
Okay, Vengeance it is.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? I think... It's almost like Joker having damage written on his forehead. It's just this.
It's, oh God.
It's so on the
man.
Nose, isn't it? It's like, you don't, just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Who are you? Just stand there and just stop.
It's obvious, mate. It's obvious who he is, you dickhead.
Yeah, doesn't need to say anything.
Like, okay, so what do you, so when he first appears and we see the bat suit and we get obviously loads of Batman in this movie, what's your opinion on the bat suit in this movie?
I like it. I like his chunky wrists, and I like his mask. I think it's a good batsuit.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I don't think it's the worst looking one.
I like his face in the Batman. I like him as Batman.
I do. We haven't talked about that yet.
I just don't like him as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I think he's a great actor. Yeah. He's done some fantastic stuff, but it's just Bruce Wayne's Batman. In fact, he's worse than Batman. He's just a miserable version of Batman without a mask. It's just pointless.
It's the Batsuit itself, I like a lot of things about it. I wish it had a bit more color in it. It is so, like, this movie, so dull.
Yeah.
And, like, just too dark. But I like it's kind of like Riot Gear, like, you know, a lot of the suit. Very ode to the Arkham games, some of it, the way it's pieced together.
I mean, the fight scenes as well. And as I said to you, I think the fight choreography in this is the best, personally, I think, in any Batman movie. The problem with it is no one's a threat. Like when he goes into the club for the first time, there's some really good fight choreography.
Oh, Ben, no, when he answers the door and he goes, sorry, but when he answers the door and he's in... He's full Batman gear.
Yeah.
And he just knocks on the door. First of all, what are you doing, mate? You're Batman, sneaking through the roof. Why are you going to the front door?
He's like, he's walked like 8 blocks, you know? He's just walked in his bat suit, just walking along the street.
In the rain.
Dum, dum, dum. Yeah, that's a bit of an odd one.
And then he goes, do you know who I am? Again, how do they not? Yes, of course they do. And are they supposed to call you Vengeance now? Or
sorry, mate, I don't think your name's on the list. Do you want to... what is it? Is it Vengeance or Batman? Should we? No, I don't know who you are. Get to the back of the line.
Which one's on the list? Just tell me which is on the list and I'll be
that one.
Whatever. Bruce Wayne, there I am. I mean, uh-oh. I know, and like, I get the bat suit being this like thing that obviously protects him, but I think he's got too much protection in this, Ben. I think he is as bulletproof as Superman. There's literally a scene where he's just walking through a hallway and he's being shot at and it's bouncing off of him without any effect to his movement. Like, if you're going to suspend my disbelief in this movie, then you've got to do it with everything, because that's bullshit. He's being shot by a semi-automatic and he's just walking through those bullets like it's nothing. Like, he's Superman. And I don't like Batman is like Superman in this.
No.
The whole hope
there's
thing.
There's no physical threat to him.
No.
Whatsoever.
And,
none.
And, like, there's even that moment where he injects himself with adrenaline at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And a big piece of me was like, and I remember loads of fans thought the same thing, was, is that Venom? Like, is that a version of Venom? Because I thought that would be great as a nod to the next movie. Like, you're going to have some, like...
And
just to be clear,
we're not talking about Marvel's Venom. He's not injecting himself with...
It's Bane's steroid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be a great plot for the next movie. Like, if you're going to ground this, like, have Bane invent this steroid that's so addicting.
Yeah.
And there's even a Batman book called, I think it's called Batman Venom, where Batman gets addicted to Bane's
Batman's
Venom.
Batman's jacked on Venom. Yeah, that works for me. That's cool.
I think that would be pretty cool. So, there's lots of things where it's like, you could have done more comic booky, because it is a comic book film.
Yeah.
But they decided to not do that, and that's the biggest thing for me. As I said to you, this needs to be more fun. Like,
yes,
I really want a Batman that, like, I know Marvel's kind of gone in this direction where everyone's really tired of it, and their stories are tired. A lot of that is kind of old, but when Marvel was at its peak, they still made it comic book feel.
Yeah.
They had great stories, great actors, and they also had some very funny moments, like some bits of relief.
Yeah.
And they try to do that in this film at points, but it just is so... It falls so short. Like, where... Thumb drive? Are you telling me that this guy is putting
a
thumb?
Thumb drive.
This guy is hilarious. Yeah, it's just, it's not hilarious, Gordon. You're not hilarious.
None of
this is funny. Yeah, I mean, we've definitely talked about most of the characters so far that here on my list. The ones we haven't talked about are Falcone, who the thing is that when we were watching it, I was telling you, like, Falcone in the comics is based off of The Godfather, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Loeb and Frank Miller, like, when they created this character, well, Frank Miller did, but when Loeb really kind of fleshed him out in The Long Halloween, it's supposed to be The Godfather. He is, like, the ultimate mafia guy.
Yeah.
And John Turturro is not that at all.
No.
He looks like a hitman that you would hire for, like, you know, a quick job.
Well, he just looks like an uncle that you only see like every Christmas. Who's a bit of a weasel. And it's
too weaselly. You're right.
And he just looks more and more weaselly every Christmas. That's just he's too weaselly.
He's not
he's
intimidating at all, is he? Like
no.
The Godfather. Yeah, you're intimidated by Corleone, but like.
Yeah.
Falcone, I feel no intimidation from him whatsoever.
No,
he doesn't scare me. He seems so disposable, and I don't get it again.
Means everything, like, you know, Penguin, whoever he is, he's sort of meant to be taking over from him, but it's not that much of a stretch, is it? It's not that much of an achievement. Like, oh, this is your legacy. Well done.
Yeah.
You're now the Weasel.
And they constantly remind us of the Maroney case in this movie. Like, every 5 seconds, it's like, even when Selina's doing her little, like, recon in the club and Batman's watching through her eyes and she's talking with the DA. And Batman so expositionally goes, he's talking about the Maroney case. After the DA literally goes,
yeah.
Maroney. Like, yes, we know. We can. We have ears.
Are you sure? Are you sure that's what he's talking about?
Are you sure that's what he's talking about? There's
so much exposition, isn't there? Just, it's all this mumbling exposition.
Yeah.
Like,
and it drags and drags. Oh, really, and again, drags. It's very Seven. Like, Seven, you know, was this cult hit. Because it was so different. But there's a reason there's not a 7-2, a 7-3, a 7-4, a 7-7 even. Like, it's because it was like a one and done. Like, okay, that's that. And Batman, you can't do that. Like,
yeah, but you also have Brad in 7 and Morgan Freeman. Both brilliant, interesting characters with an incredible one-off contained.
It's kind
story.
Of like we got the Wish.com versions of those characters in this. Like, Jeffrey Wright is very much the Morgan Freeman. And Brad Pitt is Robert Pattinson is very much the Brad Pitt, right? Like,
but
the dulled down, like, basic versions of those characters are in
very
this.
Basic. But they're just they're just not really characters. There's no developed characters in this film at all. They're
man, just... it's like I knew we were going to be like, you know, to point out a lot of things we didn't like, but. As we're talking more and more, again, this movie, like, I feel like I wish I could like it. I really do. And if you are listening and you, like, you love this movie, there obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. And I get the aspects. I was literally, over Christmas, my girlfriend's had her whole family over, and she's got some cousins. One of them is, he's, like, 24. He's, you know, fairly young. And
has he got, like, really emo hair and... You
he's
know,
got kind of long hair, but he the subject of Batman came up, and he said, like, you know, I used to think that, like, The Dark Knight was the best Batman movie, which I'm sitting there like, oh yeah, did you know? But he's like, but after seeing Reeves the Batman, like, that is what Batman should be. That is how Batman is meant to be. That's how he's in the comics. And you know, now I watch the Nolan films, and I kind of like think they're a bit silly. And I'm like, this blows my mind to hear someone say this. I almost did. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. No, this is not how it was supposed to be.
Yeah. Christmas ruined.
Oh yeah,
Are
and
you
then
telling me that you think the Batman. It's the best Batman movie.
This guy's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ended up, like, really showing my age, because we were talking about Batman more, and he's like, what's your favorite Batman movie? And I was like, well, that's a really, like, interesting question. Obviously, like, Batman 89 comes to mind immediately, but my favorite Batman movie is Batman Mask of the Phantasm, because I think it explains, you know, why Batman is Bruce Wayne so well, and, like, gives such a great story. And he's like, when did that come out? And I was like, 1994, and it's an animated film, and the Joker's voiced by Mark Hamill, and he's looking at me like, everything you're saying to me makes no sense. This is the first time I'm hearing this. And it blew my mind, but I was like, okay, there's the difference, you know? And, like, that's why this movie, I think, is so loved or hated, because it came out at such a time where, like, you know, a younger generation is getting into their version of Batman. And you had that with Nolan as well, to a certain degree, but, like...
Yeah, but, you know, this is the thing, like... You can say that. It's not our Batman, but it's just not a good film.
Yes.
Like, the Nolan movies were great. Batman 89, it has its flaws, but, you know, it's...
The
it's
nostalgia great. Goes a long way for me.
It does. Movie. It does. But this is not... It's not a good movie. Having watched it, I think... I was disappointed when I saw it at the cinema. I watched bits of it again because my kids were watching it, and I thought, you know what, actually, maybe it wasn't that bad. Having watched it again with you, like, it, I didn't, I
turned You don't it need off. To see it again?
Like, I don't need to see it again. I really didn't enjoy it.
It's just crazy, isn't it? It's a Batman movie. We should. Like, the amount of times I've seen Batman 89, Batman Returns in my life, Batman Forever. I've even watched Batman and Robin several times and found things about that movie that I enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously Begins, The Dark Knight, even The Dark Knight Rises, I've watched loads of different times. Yeah. Found things I didn't like, obviously, but most of all, I watch them again because I like them. Mm-hmm. This movie, every time I watch it, it's because I want to like it, and there's the big difference, you know?
Yes.
And that's a really bad thing that I realized. I was like, why am I doing this to myself? You just don't like it, and it's okay. Mm. But I kept on seeing people love it, and I'm like, what am I missing? And it's just not for me. It's like Batman versus Superman. People, you know, like, I love Ben Affleck's Batman, and I watched that a few times because I like his interpretation, but ultimately it's a crap film and I just don't want to watch it.
It's just not good.
And we're going to watch that one as well, good. Ben. Hey. Mm. And the Justice League and all of those.
Oh,
yep.
God.
But the final character, by the way, Falcone, he gets the scratch marks on his face because he has that in the comics from Selina.
Yeah.
Selina's also a family member of his. It's never revealed definitely that she's the daughter. Yeah, I think in the Loeb and Tim Sale series, there is a spin-off where there's a Catwoman in Rome storyline where she's like tracking down her family.
I like that.
Yeah,
like
it's really good. Yeah. This one, not so much, like they just kind of like slapped that in there, which I felt like too much exposition. We don't like, they're trying to give Catwoman backstory, but it's an ongoing mystery instead of being like, I found out years ago that I'm his daughter. Okay, cool. Like, we get it. You know, what are you going to do about it? And I don't know.
Again,
just...
I feel like that was a sort of a nod to Chinatown in a way, because, you know, it's revealed at the end that the daughter, she has a kid who's her dad's kid. And, you know, it's this sort of, abuse, I suppose.
Yes.
A low-key nod, but it,
it
didn't really...
Yeah.
If they'd been more interesting characters, if she'd been developed more, then I think that would have had more of an impact. You know, her dad's a horrible guy who, like, murdered her friend. And Batman intervening there, that could have been the big payoff. But as it was...
Don't care. It's, we talked about all of that. The birds with wings. The rat with wings. The final character I want to talk about, who has more screen time in a whole deleted scene, is Keoghan's Joker.
Mm.
How do you feel about Barry Keoghan's Joker in this movie?
I
like to call him Clayface.
Clayface Joker. I don't really care. We're meant to be like, ooh, the Joker. Because you barely see him. So it's the idea of the Joker again. Like, it's the idea of Alfred and the idea... Like, these things that we should be familiar with. But actually, what does he do? He doesn't do anything.
Mm.
It's not... I'm not interested. I've seen a great Joker. I'd rather see a new, interesting, compelling character rather than that again.
Or if you're going to do the Joker, please just do He Fell Into a Vat of Acid. Like, I don't know why the movies have strayed away from that so many times over the years. And obviously Ledger's performance and the cut scars became such an icon that, like, they've kind of leaned into that so much where they're like, how mutilated can we make this guy? And he looks like, again, he looks like Clayface. He doesn't
So he's meant
the
to
Joker.
Be like a horribly deformed...
Yeah, and
man,
I think maybe he fell into the vat of acid and it, like, deformed his skin and, like, his hair is basically all gone besides a few strands.
Yeah.
But it just looks like someone's put silly putty on his face and gone blah, with their hands and, like, rubbed it all in and gone, the Joker! And you're like, what? How is that the Joker? And he speaks like he's got, like, cotton balls in his mouth. He's like,
this is very, very personal. He feels these people have all wronged him. Probably goes way back. Unhealed wounds, stolen lunch money.
And I'm like, what? Why does everybody speak weird in this movie?
They do. Because they've all got to be part for the Sims character. That's why. I think.
What's the Sims Joker?
I don't know
what's
if it's a good. I don't know if it's a good casting choice because I like Barry a lot, but he's played too many psychopaths now.
Yes,
killing of a sacred deer. He was terrifying and horrible. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see him do that again.
Which we did in Saltburn.
We did. We've seen it. Yeah, I mean, he's more interesting Joker in that, I would say.
He is, yeah, absolutely.
You know, as someone who does something for seemingly no other reason than to, you know, just to mess everybody up.
I know.
Whereas this, yeah, I'd rather see someone else have a go that I'm not familiar with their mad performance, like Heath Ledger. That was interesting because no one has seen Heath Ledger do anything like that. And that just means it's immediately more of an interesting take. Jared Leto.
Oh, God. We're going to have to watch that. We're going to have to watch that as well.
Damaged.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know, but the Joker's like, it's quite sort of mentally damaged. I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's
But I do now because Leto let me know that.
Because you know.
That's like, the most important
thing.
Do you
know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you know what, though? If I had the choice to watch Jared Leto's Joker performance, or I'm sure we'll get more of Barry Keoghan in the sequel to this movie as Joker, I would choose Leto over Barry Keoghan's Joker. I just don't like any of the choices. Like, not that I like Leto's choices a lot, but he at least looks more like, besides the tattoos, he at least looks more like the Joker.
He does, yeah, he does.
Keoghan is just, I don't understand why Matt Reeves was like, let's just make you a mutilated, putty-faced mess that has like, he can't speak properly. I don't know, like, has he bitten his tongue off? What is going on?
No idea.
Moving on to finally wrap this whole review up, which has actually pained me a little bit.
Yeah, wrap it up now. I am done with the Batman.
The sequel to this film is in pre-production currently, and it's slated for release on October 25th, 2025. So at the time being, it's like an hour? Wow. at the time of the recording, it's about like a year and a half away. The villains that are rumoured so far are Mr. Freeze has been a rumour that's been around for a while, especially with the city being flooded and in the winter, people have been like, that would be a really cool setting for Mr. Freeze. Hush is another character that they're thinking about doing.
It ties in with his family, doesn't it?
It does, although I feel like the Riddler in this movie was kind of Hush already, like tied into the Waynes.
Yeah, that's true.
Pulling strings behind the scenes and like trying to basically like get to Batman.
Yeah.
It's kind of Hushy. But the final one is Clayface, which I was like, you've already got that. You've got Barry Keoghan. He's Clayface.
You got Barry.
But yeah, Clayface is another one. How would they do that in this?
I'm just not like that.
Is it going to be like an actual giant mud monster? No way, because this is going to be... So it's probably going to be someone that like wear like Mission Impossible style.
Mission Impossible masks.
Yeah.
Just from what you said and just thinking about this movie and how it's treated the villains, like none of those feel like they would be particularly compelling. I just don't see how they'd be handled in a very interesting way.
Because it's not fun. Okay.
No.
Ooh, okay. I'm just going to... It's like almost like the dark dullness of this movie has washed over me this whole review. So just to take a breath, I'm now vengeance.
Yeah.
I'm now going to inject a little hope into this review. And again, I'm so sorry for anyone listening that's been
slight
like, man, we just shit all over this movie for a long time. So I'm so sorry for anyone listening. If you love this, well, this is my podcast, so
I don't care what you think, I hate it.
If you love this, then I'm very happy for you. All right, here we go. Are you ready for our first and only game of the day, which is Riddle Me This, Benjamin?
Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe it's luck.
Oh, darn. Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
Okay, This is a game I play with Ben where I ask him several questions to make sure he was paying attention to this movie. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are.
And now you'll see me get quite uncomfortable and nervous about it because I
hate
do.
Being wrong. Hate being wrong. Okay. Yeah. Question one. What did the riddle "You are El Rata, El Lada" actually stand for?
It was a website, wasn't it?
It was. URL. Yeah. That's like the worst Spanish I ever heard. That's another problem I have with this. The Penguin solved the riddle. Not Batman.
Yeah,
not Commissioner Gordon. The fucking Penguin solved that riddle. Okay, question two. What is the name of Selena Kyle's roommate and potential lover?
Oh. I don't remember. It's Michelle?
It begins with an A. That's the clue I'll give you.
A woman? No, I don't know.
Correct. No, it's Annika. Annika is her name.
Yeah, I didn't pay enough attention to that.
Question three. What is Martha Wayne's maiden name?
Oh. No.
Arkham. The name is Arkham.
Damn it. Yeah, because she went crazy, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. Question four. Weak. What Nirvana song is used throughout the film?
Something in the Way, Underneath the Bridge.
Yeah, what's it something, called? I think it's called
something
Underneath
in
the
way,
Bridge.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's no, Something it's, in the Way, yeah. I think it's yeah, it's Something in the Way, way. Yeah. I had the wrong thing written down here. I've Underneath the Bridge.
Yeah, it's not called Underneath the Bridge.
Something in the Way.
Yeah.
So I lose a point there. And then finally, question five. At the end, Batman realizes that he needs to be more than just vengeance. He needs to be a symbol of what?
Hope.
Hope is correct. So you've got 3 out of 5. That's pretty good.
I never feel good about it.
Oh, no, 3 out of 5. Yeah.
No, I didn't get... I'm disappointed I didn't get Martha's maiden name. I know that.
You should be. Because you didn't like this movie at all. And it's terrible. Because you know what, Ben? I actually love this movie, and this whole thing has been a riddle on you. I got you. I actually love this movie.
You did. You very convincing. You were very convincing about how much you disliked it.
Is there anything you want to add before we jet off today?
If you would like to listen to Watching Films on the Toilet, you can find us on all the podcast, all the podcast places. There you go. I sound like Joker now.
You got a little drool there, Joker.
We took a bit of a break, but we're back and we'll try and be consistent. But yeah, I also like to say thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Lay into Batman movies.
I know. Like, there's obviously, you know, there's going to be movies that we're going to love. I've realized as we were talking about other ones, I think there's more bad Batman movies than there are good.
Which is crazy
to think about.
Let's do one next time that we might potentially like.
Well, I was going to, because I kind of steamrolled and been like, we're doing the Batman into this. And excluding Batman Forever, because I would like to wait to Halloween time.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to pick the next Batman movie that we watch.
What, now?
Yeah, or do you want to think about it?
Can it be animated?
It can be animated, yes.
Why don't we do The Dark Knight Returns animated film, because I haven't seen that, and I obviously the book's one of my favorites, so
yeah, and it is. Yeah, Peter Weller as Batman.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and I just watched RoboDoc, which is a very comprehensive behind the scenes documentary about RoboDoc.
Robo wants an Oreo.
Amazing. Robo wants an Oreo.
I think we talked about that last time when you did Batman Returns.
Yeah, it was such a great documentary.
It's such a great documentary. It's really,
really, really
the making of that movie makes me love that movie even more.
Oh, love it.
I think
so
this
much.
Is literally the conversation, and you hadn't seen it. So now you've seen it.
Okay. I have seen it and I loved it. So yeah, okay, cool.
Alright, so we will come back.
Let's see Peter Weller do Batman. That'll be interesting.
Oh, he's way more he's got a great old man Batman voice.
Okay,
like,
cool.
He's
an old man now.
You got Kevin Conroy as like the best Batman voice ever, or just Batman in general. But for voices, Peter Weller goes second for me. Like, I really like his Batman. Like, he reads some of the lines like I read them in my head when I was reading that book. You know, like He's really, yeah, he does a great job. So, okay, that's exciting. And obviously, we never know when you're going to come back when we're doing Batman on the big screen, because
a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, it's basically when my brother's been busy or too cool for school. But yeah, next time you come back, we would definitely review that. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time. We'll be talking all things Batman on the big screen. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
And I've been Ben.
And remember, goodbye!
Goodbye!
So you nervous about being on video?
Yep. I'm just hot. Hot. You can talk about it. That can be a thing. That's fine.
It can be a thing. Yeah.
See this? I got this from the British Museum. See, it's like skulls. Pretty cool, isn't it?
What, colourful skulls?
Colourful skulls, yeah. I like
it. Are they edible? My fat ass immediately went, are they edible?
Can I eat it?
How can I put that in my mouth?
That's different.
Can I give it head? Oh, hey, how you been, man? Good to see you.
Have we started?
Yeah, we started. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. This is the post chat, right? Like, this is the whole thing.
Oh, you do. Put this on afterwards, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I'm good, man. I came to your house the other week. That was very nice.
That was nice, yeah. That was and we good. We attempted to watch this movie.
Met your dog.
Yeah, I can't believe I've known you for like 3 years and you haven't met my dog yet.
I know, and it was wonderful. And as I said to you, I have not, I don't think I've been that close with the dog before, really.
No, I know. I was so surprised because you took to it quite immediately.
I've always been a bit scared, a bit cautious, but your dog was so lovely and I feel we bonded.
Oh yeah, he's downstairs right now in the same spot, wishing you were there.
Of course.
When you got home, what did you tell the missus?
I showed her the picture of me and the dog, and she thought that was very cute. She was surprised.
Like, you forged this.
Yeah, have you done? Yeah. Oh, so you spent all that time with the CGI dog? Great. That's weird.
Is that one of your NFTs?
Yeah. She thought it was very sweet.
That's nice.
It was a nice experience. And good Chinese as well.
That was cracking, yeah. I'm gonna have to bring the dog around when I come to yours.
Oh yeah. Oh, my cat would.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, we can't do
that's
that.
That's interesting. Well, let's see.
Just keep me and the dog outside. That's what you did last time. You wouldn't even let me in your house.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were my employee, so I wouldn't let any employee.
I wasn't even allowed to use the toilet. You're like, no, mate.
No. Yeah. Go in the garden.
You're the help. Go in the garden.
I wanted to make it like a period drama where you were the help. So like you were allowed to go in the basement and outside, and that was it. That was all.
It's like a dumbed down version of Saltburn.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Kind of was like that in a way.
Little do you know, my long plot here is to eventually kill you and dance around naked in your house.
Yeah, okay.
But not to There's a Murder on a Dance Floor, but to the Michael Giacchino Batman theme from this movie. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm not sure if I want to see it, but I really want to see it. You know what I mean?
Not much to see, mate.
or just the Nirvana song. Oh, yeah. It's a really slow, like, lumbering dance.
Just walking around
weird
naked.
Dance. Yeah.
Oh god.
You've told me the plan now.
I know the plan. Yeah, I've blown it.
I mean, when I watched Saltburn, I did not consider myself to be Felix in any way, but apparently, I'll take it.
Well, maybe instead of Saltburn, since it's like a dumbed down version, I could call it like low sodium burn or something, like the diet version of that plan.
Yes. That would be good. There we go. I like that. I like that. Well, good.
That's
good luck.
That's a sequel. We got it.
Good luck.
Thank you. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait for my plan to unfurl. All right. Do you want to talk about this movie?
No. Let's just keep talking about something. yes. I'd love to. I would love to.
In 3, 2, 1. Hello, Cape Crusader. Nope, that's my throat losing all of its energy.
Well, it is only 6 in the morning.
I know, and I had a lot of wine last night.
Oh, is it? Is it?
Yeah, I know. Mm. Too much.
Little Foggy. Which, again, is one of my rap aliases.
Little Foggy.
Little Foggy! Sorry. Go on.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.